here. Come over here. You, come back here. Come back here, God damn it, I'll stick my dog on you.
Run, Gordy, run, Gordy.
Sick him, boy.
Now he said sick him, boy. But what I heard was Chopper sick balls.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to the first episode of the Sick Movie Podcast, where we talk about Stand By Me. I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah, you good?
Yes.
What have you been up to?
I had a birthday.
You did? I was there yesterday.
Yes. Why'd you ask then?
Because people don't know us.
No.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was just nice to hang out with everyone, to be honest.
How does it feel being 30?
No, that's fine. Same as normal.
Yeah.
Just weird that I'm not in my 20s anymore. Yeah. Other than that, yeah.
Do you feel like any different at all? Because there's always like a lot of, I know, people put pressure on when you're 30. They're just you're 30, so you must be doing this and that. And just
the big
like,
3-0.
The big 3-0.
But no, not at the moment.
But we had a nice night last night. I mean, with a lot of friends.
Yeah.
With got you a cake as well.
Yes, it was lovely.
That was a me special. I didn't bake it or anything.
No,
I'm not that special because I still haven't actually given you a present yet.
No, that's fine.
It is delayed. I will give it to you, like, next week.
Yeah.
And then you can say what it is on the next episode.
I will.
Okay. So, we watched number 100 on the Empire's 100 Greatest Film list, and it was Stand By Me.
Yep.
Have you ever seen this before?
No, not until I watched it for this.
Yeah.
I knew of it.
How did you know of it before?
Oh, it's just this, like, being referenced in so many things. The Family Guy did basically a half an episode about it. And they've referenced it other times as well.
Is that like a flashback with...
No, like you're basically
I can't remember.
Stand By Me.
Okay.
And they managed to get Richard Dreyfuss to do the voiceover again.
At the end?
No, just for the whole
thing. I honestly can't remember that episode. What
I'll show you afterwards.
Okay.
But yeah, directed by Rob Reiner.
Yes, Rob Reiner. What year did that come out?
1986. I nearly said four.
86. So yeah. We weren't even alive when
No, three
when
years
this film
before
came
we
out.
Were born.
Because technically we are 80s kids. Because we were born in the 80s. But we didn't really have any sort of recollection of what anything was until the 90s. So I suppose we're more 90s kids. I think I'll be more excited when we review those. Who else is in it? Because it's got like quite a young cast with...
Yep. Had a young Will Wheaton.
Nice.
A young River Phoenix.
Who's River Phoenix?
He's dead now, I believe, but he was in pretty much, strangely, his last film was in 2012, but he died before that. I think it took, like, I won't go into the details of that, because that's not on this list.
No.
But it's an odd thing.
Who did River Phoenix play?
He played as young Indy in, Last Crusade. In flashbacks.
Oh, okay, all right.
He played Chris Chambers,
we have only seen it once, so I'm struggling to remember the names now.
He was the best friend of Gordy, who was played by Will Wheaton.
Right, okay.
And then we have, Corey Feldman and Jerry O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a very baby-faced Kiefer Sutherland.
Very baby-faced. How old is he meant to be in this film?
Oh, well, judging by the age of the kids and the older brothers, probably in his teens.
Yeah. So, like, late high school, is it? Well, I don't know how old people are meant to be in high school, because normally in American films, they look...
They're talking about the...
Go on, you've got the words.
I have
you
somewhere.
They're somewhere.
They talk
there.
About teachers and everything, right. So they're still in school.
Okay, but. No worries. So let me just try and remember, because I want to go like sort of through the film as it goes. But I mean,
obviously, anyone who hasn't seen the 1986 film Stand By Me, there are spoilers.
Spoiler. It's not even a spoiler-filled sort of film, though. Really, is it? It's not. There's no like big twist. There's no big turns.
No. Pretty much, you've seen a lot of the scenes in other. Media.
Yeah, it's either been parodied, because I think this is more of a popular film in America than it is
here.
because I remember speaking to a lot of people about, you know, we were recording this and our first episode of Stand By Me, and a lot of people just said, oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Mainly because of our age, I suppose.
Yes.
But I know it's really, it is quite popular in America.
Yeah, people do reference, I think it's like it a classic film for them.
So, like, before we, like, dive right into it and, you know, sort of deconstruct it, like, what did you actually think? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I don't think it was amazing, but, like, I would probably watch it again. It just seemed a fun film to watch.
I don't think I would watch it again, because...
I'd watch it with someone who hasn't seen it, but, like...
Yeah, I found myself, the test I normally do when it comes to watching films is if I reach for my phone during.
Yeah.
Because if a film's got me hooked, then I'm not, you know, going to think about looking at my phone. I did kind of have a little browse during it.
Yeah, I was ironing while I was watching it.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like you're on your phone whilst watching it, because it's not a long film.
No.
It's like an hour and a half, isn't it?
Only an hour and a half.
The good old days when films were watchable. Whatever film's over 2 hours long, I'm like, oh god, this is going to be a marathon.
Apart from Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that eventually. Months down the line. So, I enjoyed certain parts of it. And I think maybe when a film's been out for this long and it's like... And it is recognized. Remember, we're reviewing the 100 greatest movies. So, it's recognized as one of the greatest movies of all time. 100 is not that many when you think about it. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, okay, so there's got to be something good about it. And yeah, I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good characters. I thought maybe, I don't know, I didn't love it like you.
No. Well, I didn't love it. Sorry.
I didn't like it as much as you. Like you said, you would watch it again. I feel like once is enough and I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for those who haven't seen it, how would you explain it? So if you were to say to someone, "Stand by me," how would you describe it? I know we tried to describe it to our friends last night.
Yeah,
you did a piss poor job.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna give you a shot of redemption here.
Well,
try it. Oh, what does the
backed the wrong horse, my friend?
What does the IMDb page say about it? Because it is a very simple plot when you think about it.
Oh yeah, no, it's essentially a group of friends.
In the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Traveling to see a dead body. Yes, Gimli.
Yes, that's my cat. He completely agrees. He hasn't seen the film yet.
There you go. After the death of a friend, writer recounts a boyhood journey to find the body of a missing boy.
Yeah. Which is, I wouldn't say exactly a selling point.
Something normal kids would do, unless I'm assuming they might do that in America.
Mm. Have you ever seen a dead body?
Nope. No, well, not in real life.
What do you mean?
Like, I've seen them online and
right, but not like one up close sort of thing.
No. Although I would like to go to the body museum in Scotland.
There's a body museum.
Yeah. It's basically all like bodies from babies to adults.
Are you serious?
And they're like formaldehyde and everything. And
how is that a thing? Did they donate their body? Yeah. Right, okay.
They haven't just picked up
bodies. How did the baby donate their body?
I think it's parents.
We're going a bit off track, but I'm just...
I'm assuming the parents.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I've always wanted to go there out of morbid curiosity.
Aren't you in Scotland this weekend?
Yes. But I'm not sure if it's...
Birthday trip!
Bodies.
Bodies. Oh dear, do you think one of the bodies has fallen over and they say let...
No, don't even go with that.
Not even going to go with that joke.
Anyway, we're going off track again.
Yeah, I know, sorry. Back to the film. No, what was I going to say? No, I have seen a dead body.
Oh.
And so I kind of like the fascination with the kids wanting to see one, because how old are they meant to be in this? Because they're in... So it's like Kiefer Sutherland's character.
I believe they were about
is,
12.
Yeah, they're not exactly so.
Yeah, preteens.
Old. Yeah. So I do understand like the fascination of wanting to see something, and then it tied in with Gordy, the main character, Will Wheaton. Yeah.
With
his brother, who we find out actually died later on. Than was it a car accident? this is how much I paid attention, by the way.
I believe he died from a car accident.
Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it? Played by John Cusack, of all people. Mm-hmm. Which I thought that was pretty good. I was like, oh, John Cusack, because again, I know him for like later shitty films than
And being Joan Cusack's brother.
Is he actually Joan Cusack's
brother? I think they're brother and sister. I'm not sure if they're twins, but they are brother and sister.
So I like the fascination to wanting to go see it, and then it sort of like answers questions for him and his brother, makes him think about it. So that bit I really enjoyed. And how is it announced? Is it just sort of like it starts with kids found dead? It opens with the future, I suppose, isn't it? In the 80s.
Well, the present.
The present.
And this young, what's his face?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Mm-hmm. Hearing on the radio or reading in the paper that we see that someone called Chris Chambers has died. And it's like basically sparks this flashback about...
Because he's a writer now, right?
Yeah. So I believe they start in the treehouse.
Yeah.
And they're reading magazines and smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, that was really weird to see because they were 12 and they just made it look like it was the most normal thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what the rules were when it came to filming back then, but they
looked... Oh, there's probably them.
But they looked generally real, what they were doing.
No, they probably have fake cigarettes for that sort of shiz.
Mm.
But, we're introduced to Gordy himself, Teddy Duchamp, who's played by... I literally mentioned his name earlier. I've just woken up, which is why Corey Feldman.
There you go.
Who's had his ear? We find out had his ear burned on a hostel by his dad.
I think he was actually one of the more interesting characters.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because were just like known. He was known to be a nutter, essentially, wasn't he?
And like his dad's in an asylum,
which we find out later on.
And it seems he acts as if he's not fazed by anything, but then certain things can trigger.
Yeah, exactly. But because these kids, so it's weird. You do have like the core group of kids. Like there's sort of the confident one, the bully essentially, the quiet shy one, and the tubby fat one.
It pretty much like the Goonies.
And I can see how like things nowadays, particularly Stranger Things, have sort of taken
that formula.
Yeah, that formula from that. So like you just get a group of friends that you need one who does this, one who does that. But to be fair, like to the kids when they were actors then. I'm not sure. I know a lot of them are doing other things now. Like I know what Will Wheaton does and all that. But they were really good.
Oh yeah.
I was actually quite surprised, like how convincing they were.
Yeah, I think Will Wheaton came from a acting family.
Yeah.
And shortly after this, I'm not sure if shortly after this, but soon after this, he was on Star Trek.
Yes.
And then
that's where he was like mostly famous for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then. Sadly, I know him from the Big Bang Theory, maybe more than anything when he appeared on those.
But he's done well for himself.
He's done all right. But, I mean, he doesn't even look like Will Wheaton. I know that sounds silly.
No.
But do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it took me a while to realise that it was him. Or I think maybe when I was in the moments on my phone, I browsed through what was going on in the film. I was like, that's Will Wheaton, no way. And I knew Keith Sutherland was in it as a... bully essentially when he was was he someone's brother?
No, but Vern, I believe. Vern, the tubby one. His older brother is part of Kiefer Sutherland's gang,
right?
And he's known as Eyeball. Oh no, that's Chris's older brother.
Oh right, okay.
Chris Chambers.
Yeah.
So yeah, the group is Chris Chambers, Teddy Duchamp, Vern Tessio, and Gordy.
Does Gordy have a last name?
He must have a last name. But
what are you reading? Like Wikipedia plus?
Yeah. Just like...
No. We need to remind ourselves what happens.
Yeah. Like I can give a rough idea, but I'd rather like
go just get bit a few by more bit. Details. Correct. Yeah. So they are reading the paper about a body being
Vern comes to the. To the treehouse and tells him he overheard his brother talking about a dead body.
Mm. So, do you know what I pick? What I actually thought first is that those guys were involved in that kid's death.
That's what I thought as well. I thought they hit and run him, and then
They were like shit. But we'll just leave him there. It'll be fine. But that's not the case.
No, I don't think.
Was it just a kid that was hit by? Not just a kid that was hit by the train. But that's what it was. Okay.
Oh, that's the reason they didn't want to go tell, because they don't have a car.
Right.
But they had just stolen a car, and that's the only reason they got up there.
Okay.
So they didn't want anyone involved in case the police were like, how did you get a car?
Right, okay. I'm with you.
But yes. Chris steals his father's pistol.
Yes.
At one point.
He does. That was actually quite funny when... because he brought it out, didn't he? And then...
It wasn't loaded,
and then Cordy just shot it, and they both screamed and ran. That was actually quite funny. I enjoyed that.
But yeah, before that, the boys talking about this body decide, oh, let's go see this body and become heroes, get our faces in the paper.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, yeah, but then the other group did it as well, so I assume
this
was a thing back in 1950s America.
I guess so. They wanted to just be famous for
finding a body.
That's random now.
Yeah, I would not like my face in the paper at all. So
no, and we thank you for it.
Yes, but they bump into Ace, who is played by Keith Sutherland.
Yeah,
and his older brother of Chris Chambers, whose nickname is Eyeball for some reason. And they steal Gordy's cap, which we find out in a flashback, it belonged to his brother.
Belonged to his brother, yeah.
Who died, and then his parents.
Is the first thing we see, what's his name? Sorry, Eyeball.
Eyeball.
No, not Eyeball, sorry. Oh,
Gordy?
Keith Sutherland's character.
Yes.
Ace, there you go.
Yeah.
So the first time we see him, is that when he's like knocking off mailboxes with a baseball bat?
It might be, or like this cap scene.
Okay.
Yeah. We're clearly...
We clearly
organized.
Watched this film, and we clearly, clearly enjoyed it.
But no...
it's going well.
Yes. we can keep tricking. but yes, so the cap gets stolen, and obviously it means a lot to Gordy. But we don't, like, spoiler alert, we don't ever see the cap again.
So do we not?
No, he doesn't get it back or anything.
I thought... Of course, yeah.
Genuinely, at this point, I thought he was going to use the gun to go and get his cat back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that doesn't happen. But
so
we
just
find...
he just takes his hat. Gordy gets really pissed.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah. We find out...
There's no, like, resolution for that?
No.
I don't remember that.
No. But yeah, no, we find out that Gordy's parents are quite distant since the death of his brother.
Very distant. They're like... almost wish he wasn't alive, sort of.
Yeah, and I've noticed this is a similar thing to It.
Okay.
Which is another Stephen King novel. I'm not sure if this is based off Stephen King's childhood. I've not read about his past.
Mm.
But it seems to be an ongoing thing with the children in his books, where the parents ignore, like even Danny.
Ignore the kids.
Yeah, and like Danny gets ignored and stuff.
That's true, good point.
So, yeah, no, I just thought it was an interesting parallel to... Because after the death of... what's his name in It?
Mm. The other kid's brother.
Yeah.
Which one are you talking about, by the way? Are you talking about the re-release of It?
Well, the book, basically.
Okay.
It's all based off the same stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, because... But I've never seen it before, and I did rewatch. I watched the remake, as it were, last year. And I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
But yeah, no, his parents ignore him after the death of his brother. So well, they don't ignore him; they just become completely distant.
So this is based off a novella by Stephen King,
and it's. I might save it for the trivia.
Okay,
but
that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah, there's other books. It's a series of books. Like short stories that were changed into other films. But yes, they start their journey, realize they don't have food.
Yeah.
So they get all of their money together and they get about $2.13.
Something like that. And like, oh, that'll get loads. And to be fair, probably did.
Yeah. Back then, I was surprised that they managed to get four bottles of Coke.
Yeah, I know.
And a, a bunch of sweets and everything. Nothing nutritious, but.
Yeah, but you don't think that when you're a kid, do you? No, they just think, oh, some snacks for the road. And because they say they were just, they wanted to find this body, again, to be famous. And wasn't it like they were going to go down the train track and walk it? And it was like 20 miles?
Yeah, like a good 2-day journey.
And yeah, the fact that they all just leave and, like you said, the parents don't even notice.
Yeah, that's the oddest
thing. I could never have gone for a 2-day hike without my parents not noticing.
Not a single point in the film does a parent go, where's our
Where
kids?
Are they? Yeah. But, I mean, with, like, two of the characters, though, we know that the parents are, like, horrible, like, particularly with Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got, obviously, an abusive, horrible dad.
Yeah,
and yeah, and with Corey Feldman's character.
Yeah.
What's his name again? I need to get their names. Teddy. We find out later on that his dad's in a loony bin, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which
ends up being a massive trigger for him. So I understand that. Did we know about the parents for
Vern,
yeah.
No, he doesn't really
mention them. I don't think he does, because the first time we see him, he's hiding under that decking where he hears about the body being found.
Yeah, because he buried his money and he had a treasure map.
That was it, yeah. Yeah. So we do see them.
The map.
But he couldn't find his money. Yeah, so
he's been digging for 9 months.
There's like holes everywhere under the decking. That was really funny.
But yeah, 9 months of digging.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah, they're walking along and they decide to cut through a junkyard.
And our journey sort of begins, I suppose.
Yes.
See, this is a bit where I got lost. I didn't know why they were in a junkyard, but it did end up being sort of my favourite moment from the film, as you can tell because I put it in the intro.
Yeah.
Because I do like I wish there was more of Richard Dreyfuss's voiceover. Just a bit more to break it up a bit, because it was good, but I like when someone recounts and recalls, you know, the stuff they went through. And so when his voiceover came on during the bit where he got chased by the dog, that just made me laugh. I don't know why. I just did.
Yeah, and I think just before this, we see a glimpse into Teddy's kind of mindset when he tries to do the train dodge.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, and you can see that Chris Chambers is not a fan of this. And he's telling him... even though they're all ribbing, like what I like about the dialogue is they're talking to each other like kids talk to each other, like
100%
taking the piss out of each other's.
They absolutely just rip into each other. But that
and I was
shows
like, that's
the
how
friendship.
Friends like
exactly.
That's how friends talk.
You and I have done it constantly,
all the time. But we see that like they actually do care for each other, but like only when pushed to the limit, like
which he definitely did. Yeah. But he was just like standing there. Wondering. I don't know what you think he was going to gain from this. Did you think the train was going to stop?
From what I gather, it's bragging rights for like being able.
He was going to get flattened.
Oh yeah, no, that's the thing. Like everyone knew he's not going to train dodge.
Yeah, who saves him? Who drags him off? Is it Chris? It is.
Chris just dives and pulls him off.
Chris is actually a really interesting.
Bad phrasing. Drags him off the train tracks.
There you go.
I would not be allowed to watch this if that happened.
Chris is actually probably one of the most interesting characters because he does start off as being a bit unlikable, even though he's friends with Gordy and all that. You just think you're a bit of.
He just seems a bit of a like
a bit
bruiser.
Of a dick.
Yeah,
and you're just like, well, what the hell? But he does. I wouldn't say mature for the film, but you understand him a bit more. That's good character development.
But they climb into the junkyard.
So remind me, why do they do this?
To cut across because it's a shortcut to the other part of the train track. Otherwise, they'd have to go right round. And we do again. We see a part of Teddy's obsession about the war.
Yes.
Because his dad fought in the trenches or something.
Yeah, what did they kept saying? They kept mentioning a specific war, didn't they?
Wouldn't have been Nam. It must have been World War II, but he was like, he fought in the trenches.
That was it, he fought in something.
And like he's always playing with the guns and doing like
so. So I'm assuming his father is in an institute because of PTSD?
Probably, that's what I would...
Yeah, that's what I take. That's what I take out of it, and he's just obviously having a difficult time dealing with that. And you can tell because in the junkyard they get chased by the guy who owns the scrapyard.
Well, originally he's not there, but there's always, and as Richard Dreyfuss tells us in voiceover form, that his dog Chopper has been trained not only to sick people, but to sick specific parts.
Yeah.
And he said that you can often hear the words "chopper sick balls," and the kids have like got this whole idea of what this dog Chopper would be like.
And it was actually quite a nice looking friendly dog.
Yeah, but Gordy goes off to this is when he goes to get the food, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all sitting around and then they do the coin flip and what does Vern call it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Like a goober or something?
Yeah, something like that. Try and find it.
Yeah.
I'll just sing.
No, please don't.
Oh, okay. Fine.
But yeah, oh, they're a Gucha.
That's it.
And apparently the last time there was a Gucha, Clint Bracken and those guys got wiped out on Reed Hill in Durham.
Okay.
They were flipping for beers and he came up with a Gucha before they got into the car. So there's like this whole thing around having four tails.
Oh, okay.
Like it's an omen, and which is why he was so...
He's freaked out.
Yeah.
He was actually quite a funny character, though.
Oh,
he's just the nervous, like, I don't want to do anything, but he goes along with it anyway.
Yeah, and one thing I do like about him is, and they never pick up on it like the others, but he always used sincerely.
Okay.
Like, every so often, he'd just say, oh, sincerely, blah, blah. And it's like, I think it's just showing how kids learn a new word or something.
Really, yeah, and what
they're just constantly using it to sound smart.
Have you seen that? I think it's just like a meme that was going around. It was just saying, when you use the word furthermore in your essay, and you just like, look like a smart guy. And you just can't stop using furthermore.
Yeah.
I've definitely used furthermore.
But yeah, Gordy comes back to find his friends have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And,
good friends.
Yeah. And then he looks over and he sees Milo Pressman, who's the owner of the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he runs, and then the guy sicks Chopper on, and then the intro.
And what I heard happens. Was, Chopper, sick balls.
So Gordy manages to climb the fence and turns around and sees that Chopper is in fact like a small
just like
dog.
Not threatening at all. But the interesting part about this scene is when the owner comes up to the fence.
And he knows all of them and he points out that
he points out that Corey Feldman's character again, sorry, you have to keep reminding me of the names. That's the one. Teddy's he knows Teddy and he knows his dad is, I mean, he's really harsh to
him.
Like,
yeah, he calls him a loony.
Yeah, he calls him a loony. He's probably harsh. And this was an absolute trigger for... Teddy, sorry.
Teddy.
Forget his name. I'm tired, too.
I'm going to mouth it.
Yeah. Just go, Teddy. And that was really, really interesting. Again, this gave another sort of insight to why Teddy is the way he is. Because at the moment, at first you see him, why the hell is he standing for up a train? And then...
I believe
he was like properly going for this guy.
I believe he threatens to rip his head off and shit down his neck.
That's a good threat.
But yeah, no, he calls out every single one of them and he tells them he's going to phone their parents again. No one
who
cares.
Yeah.
But we see Teddy actually crying for a while, and it seems. And he keeps repeating that he fought in the trenches.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and it seems like he idolizes his dad, even though he
clearly
burnt his ear. And
I didn't realize until the guy said that that's why your ear was burnt. I honestly didn't realize that he had a burnt ear.
Oh, I noticed it when in because I was like watching it.
Yeah,
and he mentioned how his dad put his ear to the stove, and then I noticed the ear, and it's like really good prosthetic work.
I think you took more attention to this film.
Oh, I did.
Paid more attention. Sorry.
Oh, I thought it's the first film of our podcast. Yeah. I may as well do something. And then I find out that you've been looking at your phone.
No, I did look at it. It's just, I know. I'm bad. I'm a bad person. Trust me. When there's a film I like, I'll be.
Yes.
I'll give you a word in edgeways.
But yes, and then we get to the famous scene with the train.
That's after. This is the best scene, I think, of the film. It was because it actually looked I was actually, I would say I was quite tense. I was like, oh my yeah. God, what are they doing
and
here?
What I loved is the lack of music, because quite yeah. a lot of the, if you like a really slow harmonica version of Stand By Me, this is the film for you. Because it pops up every so often.
I remember hearing it at the beginning.
Yeah, it pops up every so often. And right, then okay. we get music from the era of the late 50s, yeah. 60s. Mm-hmm. That makes up most of the soundtrack. But for this part, there's no music. There's just
the relying on the train sound, isn't it?
The sound of a rushing river below them and yep. them walking and then...
And the train getting closer and closer. And closer. And,
like...
Because when it first, like, when these first happened, I went, oh, just get out of the way. And they realize, oh, shit, they're not on the bridge, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it takes a good while to get over that bridge, especially with the slats.
Yeah, exactly. And they played on that really well. Like, they were, like, running and then they tripped over. Yeah, I was like, oh, and Jesus.
Gordy, like, Vern falls out. Well, Vern's crawling because he doesn't want to, like, walk.
Yeah.
Electrified rails, they'd be dead by now. But, oh, yeah. because it isn't. It's all steam.
Bit of history for you.
Yeah, there you go. But yes, Gordy goes back for Vern, yeah. but Vern's still crawling, and then Gordy's like trying to push him to run, and they both run, and then Vern trips, and then yeah. the train's getting closer and closer. But then they manage to dive out the way just in time.
That looked incredibly real.
Yes, yes.
Like, them, you know, obviously it would just be a CGI mess now if it was in a film. So I was like, yeah. I wanted to... Do you know how they did that? Do you have any... Like,
I reckon... If they were doing it with a real train, yeah. that train would be going incredibly slow.
Yeah. And it was very clever.
Either that or it was superimposed, like, over the back.
Yeah, exactly. It actually looked really real. And, yeah. You know, the first time, I suppose the kids actually really didn't count danger.
No.
Because...
Like, they knew they were on the train tracks, but they could just easily hop off the train.
Yeah, and this time they were just, like, a bit stuck. I mean, with the junkyard, it was like, oh, only a dog. But this one really yeah. was, like, life or death. And they did play... They did allude to it with Teddy. Yes, got his yeah. name right. to Teddy in the beginning, same. Trying to yeah. Dodge the train.
And he
nice
celebrates it as the greatest train dodge
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, they. I think after that, they camp out.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often, we're flashing back to Ace's gang.
Yeah, I mean, Ace's gang doesn't interest me. I think no. this is what brings the film down.
Yeah, they just seem to be put in there for the antagonists.
Yeah.
Like, they could have explored a lot more of the
kids.
I mean,
he has no backstory. We just know him as a
douche.
Yeah. He's just
like,
not a nice
character.
The only
connection to the kids is that one of their brothers is a member. And you can see, we see them carving the name of their gangs, which is the Snakes, I believe.
Okay.
Into their arms. And I'm like, well, that's unhygienic.
They're going to get sepsis from that, yeah. I tell you.
But, yes.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, the film would still work without them.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe not the ending.
I suppose, but
again,
I reckon
all...
they could have done something different with the ending if they didn't have the yeah. other people.
Just like sort of the realization when, you know, when they do eventually find the body. But it was almost like
they were
a race against it because like, they found it. Did they, Ace and the gang, find out the kids went there?
No, they got there just like it was just really coincidental. Right. Like they, well, because we're not sure how long the kids are hanging out.
No, because Vern was really scared that they were going to find out that he told them, wasn't he?
Yeah, and but anyway, before all this,
sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, they have their little campfire,
mm-hmm.
and they because it's nighttime by this point.
Yeah,
and they've been traveling all day.
This is where all the heart to hearts happen, right?
Yeah, but they all get Gordy to tell him a story because he's a aspiring writer.
Yes,
This
was the story of the blueberry
yeah,
pie.
But
this was very random, but actually quite funny.
Yeah, it's important.
I thought it was real for a while because I think it was on my phone. I was like, "What's going on now? Is a blueberry pie involved? Is this fat kid spewing everywhere yeah. and everyone's spewing?"
But we find out writing's important to Gordy.
Yes,
and his brother
encouraged him.
Encouraged
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
but his dad was pushing his dad to his brother to. For football.
Yes.
One of those dads that was like,
yeah.
oh, my son's
going
to be a footballer.
Again, I mean...
It's a very American thing.
Yeah, a very American thing. And back in that day, I mean, yeah.
It's still happening today, I think. Like, there are a lot of people, you see, being pushed to do that.
To do things they don't want to do. So, like, he was never really encouraging them about good because he just didn't think it was worth it, whereas
and,
his brother was. So his brother was his father figure, essentially.
Pretty much, and that's why I think the death hit him so hard. And, yeah, you see that the dad sees, like, even encouraging his little brother is a distraction from the football.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But, and Chris tells him that he has to write, because, like, Chris is clearly, he can see that the rest of them are dumb,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Gordy's going to do something with himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's encouraging him, and he's like, oh, shit, sorry. but, yeah, no, so they, Chris is the first one to tell him, get them to tell him a story,
mm-hmm.
and he tells the story of,
yeah, you can tell that Chris really does appreciate, Gordy for who he is.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, he's, like, doesn't apologize for who he is, and
no.
He likes him.
Yeah, yeah, and he's, like, even though he, like, ribs in on him.
Yeah, he does have genuine respect for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what do you think of this Blueberry story? I mean,
it was hilarious.
It's, like, quite funny, written by a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't remember the name of the guy. He said, what are they called, the guy with the blueberry?
The kid is David Hogan, also known as Lardass, and everyone calls him Lardass.
Everyone calls him Lardass. It's just the smirk on his face. It's like when he knew what he was doing.
But he, we're told that this kid Lardass is tormented by everyone,
yeah.
and even the adults and mm-hmm. the teachers call him Lardass,
yeah.
and he enrolls in this pie-eating contest. And this one, I've forgotten who, but there's one person who's been the winner of this pie. And he does not look like the winner of a pie-eating contest.
No.
He's this slim bloke.
Yeah.
And
It works out, you know. It works it all off. Don't judge the guy.
Burned and pigged out on this one day. But yeah, no, he's relentlessly teased by... the town, basically, yeah. And like even the mayor says, "Oh, yeah. Like good luck, Lardass." And he's like, "Oh, sorry, David." And he starts eating, and he's bashing through these pies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's
what did he drink beforehand?
Yeah, we find out that he's drunk castor oil.
That was it.
And he's eaten a raw egg. And
he cracks it, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, into his mouth. And then we find out that that's his plan all along.
Yeah.
So, and he eventually spews all over his rival,
mm-hmm.
and that makes him spew all over the table. And yeah. then it's just...
It's a chain reaction, isn't it?
Yeah. Gordy describes the story as a Barf-a-rama. and then I thought a dick move by... what's his face?
Lardass?
No, not Lardass. when the kids like end the story.
Yeah.
And then Vern's like, oh yeah, then what happens?
And, yeah. And they'll be like, that's it.
And then Gordy. Now I've forgotten his
name.
Teddy.
Yay.
Yeah. Teddy, I felt Teddy was a bit of a dick here by saying, like, oh well, that ending was terrible. Like, didn't like the ending.
Looks like they must encourage him, was it?
No. And I was just here, and but Chris was like
came to his aid, he just said, oi. And he's only 12. Do you reckon I'm not sure if Gordy like wrote that and then said it to him. Do you reckon he made that up on the spot for them?
I reckon he made it up on the spot, or he'd been thinking about it, and this was the first time telling it.
Yeah, and it was cool because it cut back to like the three kids just like really interested in what he had to say.
And what I did enjoy was the fact that this whole thing was filmed. Like, even though it was a made-up story, they just...
That's he filmed
it's
this,
like a little
weird,
cutaway.
This weird little makeup story, Oh, it was so funny.
And they're like the Brotherhood of the Antelope. Yeah, like the women vomited on the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I could probably find the whole thing, but I'm not going to do it now because
there's no time.
But yes, we've like, and each kid is taking turns keeping watch with the gun.
Yeah,
and
what do they think's gonna find?
Well, there's coyotes and
that was it. Yeah, there was
howling in the background or wolves. I'm not sure about that area, but
actually quite a lovely looking film, wasn't it? Some of the scenery
that
they were at, like, it was really nice.
It was just like a little journey.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed about it. And I think that's what I enjoyed the most. It was kind of like the tiniest version of Lord of the Rings.
Did you like have any journeys like this when you were a kid?
No, but I, like, whenever I did go for walks with my parents or anything, like, I would always imagine myself...
Yeah,
having an adventure.
I used to love
pick up sticks that use as swords and that.
I used to love going in like just the woods in like Cosmos and all that.
Yeah,
I still love doing that, to be honest.
But yes, and then it's Chris's turn to take watch, and mm-hmm. Gordy comes and sits with him.
Yeah.
And this is the point where Chris breaks down, basically, yeah. and says how he's, like, the chamber's name
mm-hmm.
is essentially...
Yeah, he wants to get out of the town, doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants to make something better of himself.
Yeah. But he's just sick of being known for who he is. He wants to leave, and he wants to be...
Because of his brother
yeah.
and his family. Mm-hmm. They're all, like, because he's the chamber's kid.
Yeah.
He's immediately... Like, he can't defend himself because he stole milk money.
Yes.
And,
which, when you think about it, isn't, like, the worst of crimes.
Well, no, I think it's, like, all the milk money for all the kids. So that's a good, like...
Okay, so it's a good chunk, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
It's, like, what, $5, isn't it?
But, yeah, he confessed... Like, we find out he confessed and returned it.
Mm.
But the teacher... didn't report that and got a new dress.
Yeah.
To like, she bought a new dress. So at the end of the day, it seemed like Chris had still stolen the money. And like, at which point he's like, because like you can see, he, even though he's a kid and he's like a little bit of a rebel, mm-hmm. he still sees adults as the
superior?
Well, not superior, like people you should look up to, but if like adults are doing this, like he didn't believe a teacher would do
he's
that.
He's like, how can I win?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and he wants to move.
It's not fair. I mean, he was dicked over.
Like, oh, majorly. Definitely. And that, but then he thought, it's kind of like, oh, if they want me to be a.
Yeah,
a little shit, like that, I will. I'm gonna be a little shit.
Yeah.
And he just says, like, he wants to move away to a new town where no one knows him.
Mm.
And then they all wake up the next day, keep on their journey,
mm-hmm.
and they get to the swamp.
This was weird.
Was it?
I mean, yeah.
Why?
Oh, leeches freak me out, man.
But they're in swamps, unfortunately.
No, true. I mean, I didn't actually see it coming, so they just like crossed through the water. They were like larking around first, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then, was it Vern who had something on his neck? Yeah, and they were like, you got something on your neck. And then they got out there. They were just actually covered in leeches. But the real, you know, I mean, Gordy found a leech on his, was it his balls?
I assume so. Like, he just looks in his underwear and you can see
he
blood.
He goes, guys, God. I was like, oh shit, what happened there?
And then he faints.
Every man's nightmare.
Yes.
And then, yeah, it just collapses. So, but, yeah, they really do go through it, don't they, when you think about
it?
Yeah. Because how long is the film into span?
So they were. What you mean? The whole journey? Yeah, it's like a
day
few
and a
days.
Because I can't remember them saying two nights.
No, they because essentially they made the journey up.
Yeah,
and I think they just made a beeline home, and they got there. They just kept going up through the night.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got home about 5 a.m.
Right. Okay. He said. Okay. Wow, you really do remember things.
Yes, I've also got the Wikipedia article in front of me just to confess something. But yes, also, I was just thinking, like, I would not want to put those clothes back on after going through a swamp.
That's true. But they haven't got any more. They didn't pack anymore.
Yeah.
They didn't pack food. They ain't going to pack clothes.
Yeah, true. But yeah, no, I was just like, that would be so horrible to walk in for a while. I've done that. I've walked in, like...
You've walked in the swamp. You've had a leech on your balls, and then you put the clothes back on.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I've, like, you've put damp clothes on or taken them off, like, especially camping.
Yes.
And, then we finally get to the body.
Mm-hmm.
They cut across a field. And
it's very sad, isn't it?
Yeah. You think it's, like, they're building up to this whole
body. Gordy has this obsession. He wants to see it now. Because some of them are just like, let's just go home. He's like, what were you thinking? But
and, like, Vern's like, guys, if we keep to the train track. I like that bit. Because he's just there, like... Train track is a lot safer.
Yeah, and they cut through the woods. He's like the train track.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, guys, wait for me." And it reminded me of Chunk.
Yes,
again.
Mm.
And I just feel like they might have based them off this.
I think a lot of 80s things. Yeah, definitely.
But what was the Goonies before?
I'll have to have a check.
Yeah. But yes, they finally find this body of. Ray Brower.
Mm.
And he's like, I admit, I was a bit surprised by...
Goonies is before. Just, a year before.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
But yeah, goes our theory.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, yeah, they find the body.
But yeah, yeah, and he's obviously dead. And like,
sorry, he's obviously dead. He wasn't going to just wake up, was he?
No, but no, it,
Gordy like, just like stares in it, doesn't he?
I thought it'd be like a lot, what's the word, gorier,
decomposed sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's just not. He's not. Well, I think they say he's not sleeping. He's not.
Yeah, he was just not. He was dead.
Yeah, he was just basically dead. And then we find Gordy basically is just staring at this body, and then kind of is just thinking, why did he?
Yeah, why did he go?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like, why did his brother have to die? And his dad hates him and everything. Yeah. And then Chris kind of like kicks him out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Ace.
Yeah, come over and then just. Want to take the credit? I don't see what.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what were they trying to gain here? Like the kids
just
weren't.
Fame,
yeah,
I think
the kids weren't gonna leave, and then is it originally Chris who gets the gun and Gordy takes it, or
no? I don't think anyone has the gun. Oh well, Chris brought the gun with him.
Yeah,
but, I think
doesn't Gordy fire it in the air and then
pointed
to them because like
Ace
was
towards...
like properly threatened to kill them.
Yeah, because he had a switchblade and he started coming towards Chris.
Yeah.
And then Gordy basically threatens Ace with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And
never bring a knife to a gunfight, as they say.
Yep, and he calls him a cheap dime store hood. And yeah, and then Gordy, he's like, oh, you think you can kill us all? And then Gordy's just like, nope, just you. Because he can tell like the rest of them kind of rally around Ace, and Ace is the only one keeping them all in line.
Yeah, exactly.
I can shot her, and then... Ace kind of is like, oh, this isn't the end of this, which is odd because I thought I'd see a like, no, it's not
maybe
he'll
have his cap or something just to wind him up.
Yeah,
like you said, because we never see that cap again. But do they just run away? They do, right?
What, Ace and the gang?
Yeah.
Sounds like a knockoff Cool and the Gang, but but yeah, they run off and Ace is like, oh, I'll get you, Gadget. But then they kind of. Like, oh, like the body's ours, and
but they don't.
They just say that it's not the way to become heroes. And they report it anonymously, and they get back to the town of Castle Rock, which is where they're all from, and they say goodbye. And then
then you got a like sort of a very profound sad voiceover of James Dreyfuss of what happens to them, don't they? Because like
Richard.
Did I say James?
Yes.
My bad. Richard Dreyfuss. So he says, Vern...
It's basically like a lot of this...
It's like what a lot of friendships are.
Yeah. Like you don't... I was quite sad about that. Like they went through all this and then they never really saw a lot of each other.
They like passed each other in school, but they never really spoke, wasn't
like
they?
Eventually they just became another face.
He stayed friends with Chris more than...
Yeah, and
more than Vern and Teddy.
That was the happy thing I found, was that Chris... joined him in uni and actually pushed himself to become a lawyer. And
yes. And then of course, we find out from the beginning paper article that a lawyer was stabbed in a diner.
Yeah, and that was Chris.
We find out that was Chris. And that was really, that was really sad.
But by trying to stop a fight.
Yes.
And,
it's like they made sure Chris's character went full circle and Gordy's as well.
Yeah, but they
I would have liked to see what happened with Vernon and Teddy, but it's just like, it was just like sometimes that happens.
But
you don't stay friends with everyone, and we know that's true, you know?
Yeah. Even though we're lucky.
Well, maybe we have a few exceptions to the rule, I suppose, but there are a few kids in school that we always hang out with that we never see anymore.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we see that this whole thing has been
typed by Rich Rivers on a lovely Apple, whatever it is.
Yeah.
A lovely proper... what is it? It's like just a really old with green lights and computer. I love it.
Just a PC.
Nostalgic.
Then his kids come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finishes with, I never had any friends later on like the ones when I... like the ones I had when I was 12. Jesus, does anyone?
Yeah.
Interesting fact. I'm just going to say this, like, outside of a trivia thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, according to the... Oh, and if anyone ever watches anything on Amazon Prime...
Yes.
Their X-ray they've got this thing called an X-ray, so if you pause at any specific point, it will tell you who's in the scene, who, like the music playing in the background.
That's clever.
And I love that sort of stuff.
Did you see constant harmonica standby?
Yeah. And apparently the Jesus Does Anyone was added in post. Like, that wasn't typed. Because right. If you look, the writing's different.
Okay. But so they must have thought, yeah, let's add that voiceover. Very cool.
And, yeah.
And then we end, right? You see him
driving off to the thing with the epitomal song.
Of a Stand By Me. You were saying about how this film never really references it, is that right?
Yeah, no, like, I think if the lyrics are about sticking, like...
Yeah.
By a friend or something.
But, yeah, absolutely.
And it, like, I can see why it relates in that way. But at one point do they listen to Stand By Me and, like, it's not...
Would you have wanted one of the characters to say it? Because... I always do a little when someone says the film title that you're watching. But I mean, I'm not sure how they could have incorporated that. I suppose Chris and Gordy could have said it to each other at some point.
Yeah. But I think it would have been cheesy then. I would have been like the other way around. I would have been like, oh, come on.
Let's look at other film scores from it. So, like, IMDb has got 8.1 out of 10. I wouldn't say I would agree with that. But that's more of like an audience score, isn't it? I'm going to check Rotten Tomatoes for it as well. Because I'm just quite curious. Not to say Rotten Tomatoes is the be-all and end-all. I know a lot of people have problems with it, to be perfectly honest. But it's got 91% and it's certified fresh. And the audience score is 94. So it is a very much well-liked film.
And also, because I've been a dick and I haven't said the actor who played Vern.
Go on.
He was played by Jerry O'Connell.
There you go. Yes, I have. I did have a look and he's been in a few things that I've watched since.
Yeah.
So if this film... were to get remade, or should it get remade?
Do you think
it would work? I mean, because...
I don't think it's like...
Because you see that with the trend now, with particularly Stranger Things, of kid actors... And
well, I think they pretty much... Like, they've got that kind of aesthetic down with Stranger Things, and like it had the whole thing, and it still had Finn Wolfhard in it as well.
And the fact that they're still...
And he would probably, if they did make Stand By Me, Finn Wolfhard would be in...
Do you know who would have been a great Chris? He's too old now, but you know Will Poulter?
Yeah.
He would have been amazing as Chris. He needs to just, you know, have the Benjamin Button disease and DH. But I don't think it should get remade, because you can't really tell it from a new perspective at all. I don't think it's just... It's a very simple, basic story about four friends on a journey.
It's just a journey film.
Exactly. Right. So I don't think it needs to get remade. But the fact that Stephen King films are still getting made, and books are still getting made into film this day, is, you know, a testament to his writing.
Yep. I can see why it's on this list.
Okay.
Like, but at least...
I know we're only the first film in.
I wouldn't put it any further down. I'd say, like... 100 is...
You would say... I mean, it wouldn't be in my 100, I suppose, but I was quite surprised. But I was expecting...
Empire's 100, so...
Yeah, that's true. I was expecting a little more, but it's not to say I didn't enjoy it. For the pits
I went in... I went in not expecting a lot, and that's why I think that's why it was pleasant.
So you had no expectations and you came out and you thought, that's an all right film.
Yep.
That's fair. Do you have any interesting trivia for us?
A few bits.
No,
well, not interesting, but apparently to keep in character while off camera, Keith Sutherland often picked on the four boys.
People. He actually picked on the kids.
Yeah.
No way.
Just to like keep in things. And this one I liked.
Go on.
It's the top one. But Rob Reiner screened a movie for Stephen King, who's novella he was based off, and he was saw that King was visibly shaking and didn't speak, and he left the room.
Oh wow.
And like, as most people listen to this probably know, like all three of you including myself, hello Steve, he's very picky about how he
film adaptations,
because
he hates The Shining, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he apparently, this is the best adaptation of the work he's ever seen.
That's what he said to Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Similar to the reaction to The Mist, when he said, like,
I love The Mist.
It's the best worst film.
It's amazing. I can't see what you mean.
I won't go into that.
No, we watched that together, didn't we? And you were like, yeah. no, for the ending. We'll spoil it for anyone.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Apparently the leeches thing happened to Stephen King.
Okay.
Like, I see this
so
I see this film as, like, his version of Boy, like Roald Dahl's Boy, because Roald Dahl as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this, I think he's just plucking bits from his childhood. Yeah. And the fact that the main character's a writer
mm-hmm.
is also very thing. But, yes, do you want a little quiz thing? Or
A quiz?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I barely watched the film, but go on.
But, no, it's more of a, like, guessing game.
Okay. Go for it.
So this is obviously based on a short story but called The Body by Stephen King.
Yeah, yeah.
From a book of short stories called Different Seasons.
Okay.
Name one other film mm-hmm. that's been made based off one of the books in that thing.
And there is definitely one that's come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
After this film, I'll give you a clue.
Okay. It was after this film. Oh, I mean, I don't know any of Stephen King's novellas, so I'm probably in the... Go on, give me a clue. You can't, though. You can just tell me.
One of the other... well, it includes the model for the Shawshank Redemption in the same book
right.
as this. Like, it was another short story.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that film is on the list.
Yes. But yeah, Child Extra actually threw up for real during the Bar for Rama.
Oh. That poor kid.
Yep.
That's amazing.
But yeah, do you have a favourite quote?
It probably was the chopper stick balls. It's just yeah. really funny. I think the best scene was the train.
I would agree with that.
I think it was really good. Favourite moment was the chopper stick balls.
Yeah.
It just made me giggle.
There's more a quote from, like, all four of them, and it's when they're at the campfire.
Okay.
And it's going through all their different conversations, and it keeps cutting back to this one conversation where it's, Mickey's a mouse, Donald's a duck, Pluto's a dog, what's Goofy?
Yeah.
And then, like, they discuss a bit more, and then comes back to Teddy saying, he's a dog, he's definitely a dog. And then Chris is like, he can't be a dog, he wears a hat and drives a car. And then, like, finally finishes with Vern going, yeah, that is weird, what the hell is Goofy? Brilliant. And that has been a topic of discussion between groups of friends.
Yeah.
And it seems...
It's like such a random
years.
Conversation as well, which friends yeah. have. You know, and we've done it like countless times where we talk about something and then we completely forget about it. But then we go back to it an hour later yeah. and go, so what yeah. about it? It's like they did that.
But yeah, no, definitely the train scene was mm-hmm. one of the best for me.
Would you... should we rate these films when as we go through? So
yeah.
I usually do a rating out of 5.
Yeah.
Were you happy to do that? What would you...
I'll do it out of 10. No.
just to be awkward.
I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, out of 5.
It's pretty good. I'd give it a 3.
Yeah.
I think it's a decent, mid-lane. Solid movie. Yeah.
yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not blow your mind, but if you were to ever go through the list, then I think it's a good place to start.
Yep. So... that was Stand By Me.
That was Stand By Me. We did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Should we say what is in store for us next week?
Yeah, next week is Amelie by...
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No. Did we say?
Yes.
Raging Bulls next
week.
Oh,
Jesus. Like, so you've got to cut a thing from a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, a couple of weeks for Amelie. You can wait for that. But no, Raging Bulls next, mate.
Raging Bulls starring good old Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Want to score?
I was going to say Danny DeVito. that would be amazing. Again, a film I haven't seen yet.
Same here. I think it's very long. I'm going to need to take a day off work to watch it. Probably
2 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh, that's fine. I thought it was 3. That's fine. 2 hours.
Well, considering a film from the '80s, though,
it is
like that's quite long for an '80s
filmed
film.
In black and white. I know that. Yeah. And want to score Scorsese's first with using De Niro. So
and quite a lot high rating across the board by the looks of it.
Cool. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Always been a big Scorsese. Fan, as you know.
Oh, definitely.
So we'll just wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening. If you did listen, we really do appreciate it. Let us know what you thought.
If you don't like it, tell us and we can just give up on this.
Yeah,
and
we'll get rid of one of us. We'll replace one of us with the cat. It's fine.
Yeah.
But we are on all the podcasts now, Steve. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes.
Excellent.
We're on Pocket Cast. We're on Google Podcasts, of all things. We are across the board. I know, right? But you cannot get rid of us.
Are we on Podbean?
I think we are.
Excellent.
I'll have to check. I can give us all a list next week. So yeah, thank you all very much for listening. It was really fun talking about this, Steve. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm glad we're doing this.
Absolutely. I will see you next week for Rage Bull.
Yes, not Amelie.
Not Amelie. That'll be the week after. Again, yeah. Something I haven't seen. So thanks, guys. Have a lovely, lovely day. Steve?
Bye. Yes.